Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us wisdom. When we come and worship you, help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. And help us not just be a hearer of your word and deceive ourselves. And help us to not only understand your word and walk in it, so that we be blessed all the days of our life. And I pray that you fill your servant with your spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that he understand your truth and walk in it, and those who hear have the same kind of blessing. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of my sermon is, "There are no exception. We all have to live for God." But how do we live for God? We live for God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't remember what I say this morning, I want you to remember the title. We all have to live for God. If you do not live for God, you are living dead. You die already. I say that one more time. We all have to live for God. But how do I live for God? We live for God through the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can live for God by his own strength. We live for God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When I say we live for God, that means we serve God, live for God. That means we serve God. That means we worship God. Okay, take a look at the, see what I say is correct or not. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship God in true, capital letter T, in true and in spirit, capital letter S. No one can worship God by your own way. If you worship God by your own way, if you worship God by man's word, not God's word, your worship, according to Matthew chapter 15, 5, your worship is in vain. Your service is in vain. Brother and sister, if we want to serve God, if we want to worship God, if we want to live for God, we have to live for God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look at who is our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, Jesus' word, Jesus' name. What is the name of Jesus? Jesus' name is the word of God. In other words, if I say I believe in Jesus, if I do not believe in the word of God, I don't believe in Jesus. Jesus' name is the word of God. So if I say I believe in Jesus, that means I believe in the word of God. Take a look at the Gospel of John. It's also written by Apostle John. 17:17. And when Jesus Christ prayed to God, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true." God's word is true. 16:4. Gospel of John, Jesus say, "I am the truth." Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 33. Spirit gives life. Flesh counts for nothing. the words that I spoken to you, they are true and they are life. If you don't have the word, you have no life. Because his word is life. His word is spirit. And only spirit gives life. Word gives life. Jesus gives life. The truth gives life. I say that one more time. In those days, the Pharisees, they worship God every Sabbath day on Saturday. But Jesus Christ said that your worship is in vain because you worship God based upon man's teaching, not based upon God's word. The only thing that gives life is God's gives life, the Spirit gives life, the Word gives life. So we worship God, we serve God, we live for God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Spirit. What does it say? 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15. The first Adam, the first man Adam, became spiritual being. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, become life-giving spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Become a living being. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, is a life-giving spirit. That spirit is capital letter S. Because the Lord is spirit. 1545. So with all this background, take a look how we can live for God. We live for God. We all live for God. What are the reasons why we have to live for God? Take a look at what Paul trying to say. Why do we have to live for God? I read that to you in chapter 8, verse 4. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idol, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father. The Father is the only one God, from whom all things came, and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. I say that one more time. In verse 6, yet for us, that's a key word to understand that. For Christian, we know that there's only one God. For Christian, we know that there's only one Lord. But as far as the Gentile, as far as the pagan, as far as the non-believer, as far as the new believer, sometimes they may not know. Okay? For them, they think there are many gods. They think there are many lords. But as for us, there's only one God. There's only one Lord. Why do we have to live for God? Because the Bible say in chapter 8, verse 6, all things came from God. If all things came from God, that means you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. So when you live, you live for God, then you can live a long time. Then you can have eternal life. If you live for yourself, just like Romans chapter 8, verse 6, same thing in the 1 Corinthians chapter 8, right? If you don't live for yourself, I want you to write down 8:6. Just happen to be there, 8:6, 8:6. 1 Corinthians 8:6, Romans is 8:6. If you let your mind to be controlled by your flesh, that means you don't live for God. You like to do your own thing, you are dead. If you let your mind to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, by Jesus Christ, you have life, you have peace. You live for yourself, I guarantee you, you have no peace. Say, Pastor John, how do you know? Let me tell you. If nothing happened to you, if so far you are so good, then it's okay. But when calamity comes, you are the one who is going to be like Belshazzar. When he sees writing on the wall, he's trembling, and his knee knocking each other, trembling and fear, because you know that you sins against God. And you have no help. And you don't know what to do. Don't wait until that moment comes. Then you fear and tremble. Brother and sister, let our mind not be controlled by the sinful man, by the flesh. If your mind is controlled by your flesh, that is dead. But the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit, by God's word, by the truth, is life and peace. 8:6, 8:6. So that's why the Bible says we all live for God because we come from God. God gave us a new birth. We are born again. How do we born again? We born again by water, by the Spirit. We born again, according to 1:18, book of James, we born again by the Word of God, the truth. James 1:18. God chose to give us birth. That birth is new birth. Born again through the word of truth. So the word of truth give us new birth, give us new life. When the word of truth give you new life, you need to sustain your life with the truth, with the word, with the Holy Spirit. I say that one more time. God give us new birth through water baptism. And through spirit baptism, God gives us new birth through the word of truth. So that very word is very, very important. And let our mind be controlled by the word of truth, by the Holy Spirit. Do not let your mind to be controlled by your body, by your flesh, by the sinful nature. Now we go back. I say that one more time. If you do not remember what I say this morning, remember the title. I didn't say we. I say we all. There's a reason for that. Because all things came from God. If all things came from God, we got to serve God. We got to live for God. We got to worship God. But how do I worship God? According to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, God worshiper must worship God in spirit, capital letter S, and in truth, capital letter T. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that kind of worship is acceptable and reasonable to God. And that kind of worship is holy in God's sight. But if you worship God by your own means, if you serve God by your own means, if you live for God by your own means, you're bound to fail. Because you have no power to do that. And God do not expect you to do that. When we live for God, when we serve God, when we worship God, and God wants us to serve Him, worship Him, and live for Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. I give you some proof. Chapter 2, verse 20 in Galatians. And Paul said that, I died with Jesus already. The life that I live is Christ lived in me. So that's why when Paul said that I live, he lived for God through Jesus Christ. Through His word. Through His truth. And that's how we worship. And that's how we serve Him. I think if I remember right, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, who are the true worshiper? We are the true worshiper because we worship God through His Spirit. Some people claim to be a worshiper of God, but they worship God with their own means. No, your worship is in vain. You're not worshiping God. I read that again, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. It is we who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God. Well, you can do whatever you like, brother and sister. One thing I want you to know, He's going to judge you according to His word. I say that one more time. God's going to judge us according to His word. Where does it say? It say in both the Old Testament in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Everything has to be measured according to God's word. He determined whether your speech, your action is correct. He measures you by His word. He judges you by His word. If what you say is not in according with His word, you are still in darkness. You are not in the light. You are not in the truth. God will judge each person according to His word. So we all have to judge ourselves according to His word. In the New Testament teaching, in Gospel of John chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, I won't judge you. The word that I spoke will judge you. My word will judge you. Okay? I think in chapter 12, verse 47, I think, all the way to 50. Let's see. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 47. As for the person who hear my word, but does not keep them, I do not judge him, said Jesus. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who reject me and does not accept my word. Circle that, my word. God going to judge us by His word. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. That's the judgment time. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say. I say that one more time. We all have to live for God. But why do we have to live for God? Reason why? Because all things come from God. And why do you have to live through Jesus Christ? By the means of Jesus. Why do you have to live through Jesus? Because if you don't live through Jesus, we don't live for God. We live for ourselves. If we live through Jesus, then we live for God. Why? Because all things come through him from God. He's the media. He's the channel. God created us through him. Because God say, let there be light, and there was light. Through his word, through Jesus Christ. I don't know how much you understand what I say, but eventually you will understand. The more you hear about that, I still remember the first time when I learned some new material at university, I have no clue why the professor say what he say. But after he mentioned so many times, we understand. I hope that applied to your life too. I say that one more time. When God say, let there be light, and there was light. God create light by his word. Through his word. So he created us through his word. Everything, all things comes from God through Jesus Christ. So when we want to live for God, we have to live for God through Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? I hope it makes sense. It makes sense to me because I think it through. I hope it makes sense to you. We all, we have no exception. Unless you say, no, I don't come from God. If you don't come from God, that means you are not born again. I'm born again Christian. I'm born again through the word of truth. According to James 1:18, I'm born again through water baptism because he said that. We all have to go through baptism. So I go through baptism. I believe in his word and we all have to go through spirit. Okay? No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Chapter 3, verse 3, Gospel of John. Jesus say, truly, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless through water baptism and spirit baptism. So I know his word and his spirit is very, very important. So that's why no one can live for God by your own means. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Turn to Galatians 3:3 first. Paul said that, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? No, I don't serve God. I don't live for God. I don't worship God by my own human effort. I live for God. I serve God. I worship God through Jesus Christ. I want you to write that down, 3:3, right beside 3:3. You write down 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We begin our word by the Spirit of God. Now we're going to finish it by the Spirit of God. Who is the Spirit of God? Jesus Christ is a life-giving Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 45. Chapter 5, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the Spirit. So we live through Jesus Christ. If you don't live through Jesus Christ, you are a dead man. You are not living. You are dying. So, because this is more important than talking about idol, talking about what you call a sacrifice, talking about food sacrificed to idol, talking about eating food sacrificed to idol. Okay? Now, with this background, and let's see what Paul trying to say to us. Without the word of God, we don't even know why he's saying what he's saying or what's the reason for that. I say that one more time. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. All things come from God. That means we belong to God. That's why when we live for God. All things come from God. That means we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to our master. We have to serve our master. All things come from God. That's why we have to worship God. And all things come through Jesus Christ, the Lord. That's why when we live through Jesus Christ. All things came through Jesus Christ. That's why when we serve and we worship through Jesus Christ. There's only one God, the Father. That's why when we pray to God, we say, our Heavenly Father. That means there's only one God. He gave us birth, the Father. And there's only one Lord, because He's saving my life. He's a life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ say, I am the truth, the life, and the way. No one come to the Father except what? Through me. Circle the word through. Because this teaching, although now in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, is through Paul. Paul said that all my writing, 14:37, is the Lord's command. That's why Jesus said the same thing. I am the truth, the light, and the way. No one come to the Father. No one come to that one God except through me. Through. So what's the title of my sermon? We all live for God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? I'm spending 35 minutes to explain the essence of the truth. All right? Now, I go to verse by verse, chapter 8, verse 1. Now about food sacrificed to idol. 8:1. 8:4. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idol. Okay, he talked about the first point first. First point, about food sacrificed to idol. Second point, about eating food sacrificed to idol. Talk about the first part. We know that we all possess knowledge. That's all the saint in the Corinth, they boast about. They say, we all possess knowledge. That's why Paul said that. We know that. We all possess knowledge. But in the footnotes, you take a look at the B, footnotes. We all possess knowledge as you say. They boast about that. They thought they know the truth. They thought they have the knowledge. Paul say, okay, we know that. We all possess knowledge, but knowledge pops up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, point number two, about eating food sacrificed to idol. We know two things. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world. Point number two, we know that there's no God but one. Christians know that there's only one God. All other God is false God, is not real, is nothing. Verse 5, for even if they are so-called God, because so-called God by who? By the Gentile, by the non-believer. Whether in heavens or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, as far as the Gentile is concerned, but not as far as Christian is concerned. We Christian, we don't believe that there are many gods. There's only one God. There's only one Lord, okay? And yet, for us, Christian, for us who have the true knowledge of God, there's but one God, the Father, from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. We live through Jesus Christ. If you don't live through Jesus Christ, you die. Okay? Verse 7. But not everyone knows this. And Paul knows that. There's only one God, one Lord. And Paul said that not everyone knows that. Not everyone knows that all things come from God. Not everyone knows that all things come through Jesus Christ. But we Christians, we know that. And then in verse 7, he says, some people are still so accustomed to idol that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak and it is defiled, but food does not bring us near to God, for we are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do. I want you to write that down regarding food, chapter 8, verse 8. A lot of people talk about food in the church, same as in the church of Corinth, same as in the church of Romans. I want you to write that down right beside food. You write down Romans chapter 8, 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Don't spend so much time on eating and drinking. All these are for the flesh. Food for the stomach, chapter 7. Stomach for food. But the Lord said, I will destroy them both. Don't spend so much time on things that doesn't last. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of drinking and eating. The kingdom of God is a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what Paul is teaching, isn't it? Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Take a look about food. That's written by the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our heart to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. Write that down. Don't keep on doing things that have no value. Say that one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. Food does not bring us near to God. What can bring us near to God? His word, his truth, and his spirit. Because chapter 4, verse 4, Matthew. Chapter 4, verse 4, Luke. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word come from his mouth. Go for things that can last for a long, long time. Keep going. Food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, and no better if we do eat. Verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom, I want you to write that down, exercise of your freedom, exercise of your freedom based upon verse 8. Exercise your freedom based upon verse 1 and 2. Based upon your knowledge. Your knowledge pop up. Your knowledge is partial knowledge. It's not the full knowledge. Why do I say partial knowledge? Because Paul says in verse 2, the man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. Because you only have partial knowledge. And you use your partial knowledge of God's word, partial knowledge of God's truth, partial knowledge of God's spirit, and you worship God, your worship is only partial. Sometimes may be detrimental to you too. It brings you no good. Verse 9, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. If anyone with a weak conscience see you who have this knowledge is the partial knowledge. If you have true knowledge of God, you won't eat in an idol temple. You won't. I say that one more time. Let's say if you have money to do travel. Let's say if you have money to go for vacation. Don't go to places that the tourist guide bring you to temple. You understand? Like Thai, like some other places, like in China. Don't bother going there. Okay? They are worshiping demon. So you don't go to that kind of place. Same as it's a good lady, they don't go to the White Avenue at 1 o'clock evening. Because there's a lot of guests, there's a lot of bar there. A lot of people get drunk. You don't even drive in that area either. You understand? You have to have this kind of knowledge. People get mugged. You know why you get mugged? You go to the place you should not go to. You're not wise. Right? All right. That's what it really means. Okay, we keep going. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom. What kind of freedom do we have? I want you to write that down right beside freedom. You write down 6:12. Everything is permissible for me. That's a freedom. But not everything is beneficial. And that's a constraint. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, some people ask me, can a Christian drink alcohol? Of course you can drink alcohol, but you listen to me. Because you drink alcohol, there's a higher possibility your children are going to drink alcohol. There's a higher possibility if you are a pastor, you drink alcohol, okay? And then someone who used to be get drunk all the time, and later on he turn around, become sober, and go to the church and worship God. And then all of a sudden he see Pastor John drink alcohol. Do you think that he's not going to embolden and drink alcohol at home? And I'm the one who caused him to stumble. You have the freedom to drink. But you do it with constraint. Not everything is beneficial to you and to your children, to the people around you. And on top of that, a lot of people, when they drink alcohol, they get addicted to it. They master by it. Good for you. You have a self-constraint, self-control. But some other people, they don't have it. You understand? That's how you live for Jesus. You live not based upon your partial knowledge. You live based upon whether it's beneficial to yourself and beneficial to other people. You do it whether you're going to be mastered by that, addicted to it. You don't let it addicted to it. Paul say that everything is permissible to me, but I will not be mastered by it. Right? The best way not to be mastered by it, I don't even do it. Justin Trudeau next year, summer, they say they're going to legalize marijuana. They put a word, recreation marijuana. Recreation marijuana, that means you can smoke marijuana. Sooner or later, you can go to so-and-so restaurant. You say, waiter, give me a Molson beer. And then on top of that, on the left-hand side, give me a recreation marijuana. Do you think you can order that? When it becomes legalized, you can order that. But you know what? You can try all you like. At the end of the day, you'll be mastered by it. You'll be controlled by it. On top of that, if you look for a job in the construction site, the first thing they hire you is you go for blood test first. You go for urine test for drugs. You go for urine test for alcohol. When they find a trace of that in there, you're out to lunch, man. Paul said that. Everything is permissible for me. In chapter 6, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 12, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Go to chapter 10, verse 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. If it's not constructive, it's destroying your life. If it controls your life, don't bother doing it, man. These are the things that we don't have this kind of knowledge. We have the freedom. Oh, we Christian, we can do that, you know. Yeah, you go ahead and do it. But your freedom, when you exercise your freedom, you cause other people to stumble. You sins against God. You sins against Christ. If you sins against Christ, your worship, your service, your life is ruined already. Let's hear what Paul say. I'm glad he write that down with wisdom, with the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 8, verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. You are strong. It's okay. You can control. But all other people, they cannot control. It's okay. You know that there's only one God. There's only one Lord. And all our idol is nothing. But as far as they are concerned, they think that this is God, this is Lord. But when you eat in the temple, they used to eat in the temple. Now they worship God, they don't eat in the temple. But they see the pastor eating in the temple. They see the elder eating in the temple. That means it's okay to eat in the temple. And then they sin against God because they are weak. Don't you know that? If you have a strong body, someone sneezes in front of you, you have no problem. When I was in the seminary, I don't sleep well. It's a lot of pressure to study Greek, to study Hebrew. Someone sneezing, you know, 100 feet away from me. I get a flu because I'm weak. There's so many germs around. Am I right, Dr. Galen? Right? There's so many germs around. But if your body is weak, then you're wounded. You get sick. Not every people are strong. That's why Paul say that. Be very, very careful. Concerned about the weak people, even though when you exercise your freedom. Because Paul say that. Food does not bring us near to God. And we are no worse if we do not eat, no better if we do. That means Paul gives the freedom to choose either way. But you choose what's not mastered by you. You choose not being destructive, right? If it's destructive, you don't choose it, right? Destroy other people's life is not constructive. No, you don't do it. Verse 10. If anyone with a weak conscience see you, who have this knowledge, partial knowledge, eating in an idol temple, won't he embolden to eat what has been sacrificed to idol? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. By your knowledge is partial knowledge in circle. Okay? Because you don't know the whole truth. You don't know that you will hurt people. You don't know that you're going to sin against God. Because Paul said that knowledge pop up. Your partial knowledge pop up. If you have true knowledge of God, you humble yourself. You won't pop up. You won't say, yeah, I can do it. Why not? Why are you stopping me? You know? When you sin against your brother, your weak brother in this way, you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wow. This is new thing, right? So that's why Paul say that. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know he ought to know. You ought to know that when you sin against the weak conscience people, you sin against Christ, because Christ saves his life already. He's getting rid of the idol worship already. He go to the church and worship God. And lo and behold, when you and I, when and he and you go to a Thai place to for vacation, and they say, oh, you just sit in the Thai temple to eat the food sacrificed to idol, then he's going to eat with you with fear and trembling. And he sins against God. Does that make sense? Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, Paul said that I will never eat meat again. I will never eat meat again. You write that down. Chapter 8, verse 3. The man who loves God is known by God. He do not eat meat again because he loves God. He want to serve God. He want to worship God. He want to live for God to save people's life. So I will not cause him to fall. I read that one more time. 8:13 is love in action. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. I say that one more time. Not that Reuben public reading of the scripture is no good. Paul teaching Timothy, devoted yourself to the public reading of the scripture. Public reading of the scripture is help people before they listen to the sermon, hear what's the genuine milk without any explanation. And Reuben is too young. We have a lot of people, they are born in here. They should do better. They should come up and read the scripture. You know what? If I'm a non-Christian, I come to your church, you ask the children to read the scripture, next week I don't even bother coming. You cause people to stumble you don't even know. Don't be a lazy sluggard. Look at the end. They are very hardworking. You cause people to stumble, you don't even know. Your knowledge pop up. Everybody say, I won't come if I'm a Gentile. Look at this church. What it is like. We don't give the best to the Lord. Don't tell me you love the Lord. You don't love the Lord. I look at this. I say, next week, I want to have a proper reading of the scripture. I do it. We want to get blessing from the Lord, right? But you live your own life, forget about that. I'm not saying he's no good. But he's not the best in this church. I give the best to the Lord. In conclusion, knowledge pop up, love build up. Take a look at what Paul said. chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, especially the weak, whether Jews, Greek, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. I want you to write that down right beside here. You write down Galatians 1:11, because Paul said that at one time. I'm not trying to be a people pleaser. And whereas in here, he tried to please everyone. I tell you what's the difference between this. 1:11, people pleaser based upon 1:8 and 1:9. You try to change the gospel and please the audience, say what he liked to hear, not saying the truth, you'll be cursed. You're causing people to go to hell, you go to hell. That's why Paul say, I'm not people pleaser. But as far as eating and drinking, that doesn't bring me closer to God. And I want to be a people pleaser so as to save his life. Does it make sense? Knowledge, pop up. Love, built up. Don't just use one Bible verses to criticize another Bible verse. You got to understand what it really means. Our Heavenly Father, every time when your servant opens his mouth, you fill him with your Holy Spirit, with your word, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, so that your people be fed with the word of God. Be strong in you and be blessed by you all the days of their life. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.